This weekend, I've been at work in the hospital. I saw a lot of babies, as well as children and their parents. And before anything else, I took notice of how they were breathing. It can tell you a lot about how ill someone is. A faster breathing rate is often one of the first signs of sepsis in children, and working hard to breathe often suggests asthma and gives me an idea of how sick they are, and sometimes whether they are likely to need intensive care or not. A child with diabetes came in with deep sighing breaths, and some of the children who came in with seizures were not breathing enough. Breath is essential to life. Last week, my four-year-old was worrying at bedtime and said to me, "Mummy, do that breathing thing." And we breathe a deep breath in together, counting to four. And then I count four with my fingers while we hold our breath. And then we breathe out for eight. It's calming, and she settled down. At times during the last 3 months, I've noticed I've been holding my breath, realised that I'm stressed, and had to remind myself to breathe. Air fills my lungs, and the relief is huge. Devastatingly, not the case for George Floyd and too many others before him. "I can't breathe" has been a slogan associated with the Black Lives Matter movement since 2014, and as I'm educating myself about the injustices suffered by people of colour in the past and ongoing today in my community and country, I continue to read, "I can't breathe." Breath is essential to life, and structural racism is a sickness in our country. One of the closest things to a miracle and the most amazing things in my job is attending deliveries. Sometimes ill babies come out not breathing, pale and floppy. As you give them breaths, breathing air into their lungs, the transformation is amazing. It's beautiful. Slowly they change from white to blue to pink, and their heart rate picks up from too slow to quick and life-bringing. They become vigorous, and the relief in the room on hearing a cry is palpable. She lives. The power of life-giving breath. It is truly an awe-inspiring transformation. It reminds me of Genesis 2 verse 7, where it says, "The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils." The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God breathes today, and we live. In him we live and move and have our being. In a vision, God instructs Ezekiel to prophesy to the breath, and a valley of dry bones is transformed into a living, breathing army. They live. And in the New Testament, Jesus walks into a locked room, a room of disciples filled with fear, and he greets them with the words, "Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, I am sending you." They're overjoyed to see him. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I think about the pale, floppy baby, and I think about Jesus's life-giving breath. Just like the baby at the delivery, Jesus does the same with us. He literally and metaphorically breathed life into those in the locked room. They lived. We don't live with locked doors, but we are in lockdown. Sometimes it is hard for me to even recognise exactly what I'm afraid of or anxious about. But Jesus says to me, "Come close." And just as I see newborn babies whose rapid breaths and heart rate calm at their mother's touch, sometimes lying skin to skin, their breaths and their heart rate synchronising with the mother's, their stress hormone levels falling. When I come close to Jesus and let him fill my gaze, I can feel my heart rate slowing and breaths steadying. In this time, he has been inviting me again to abide in him. An abode is a place to live, a home. He's inviting me again, because I quickly forget. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly.